Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It gets fucking annoying to have her like talk shit about me like being a certain way when she literally is the laziest fucking person.
Ariana's really busy. She has like a lot of things in the works. I think they're flying her to the moon the day after she like meets the Pope. So I'm sure it's a lot for her to like handle like house hunting. But I have it on record that she doesn't want the house. So she's literally only fighting me.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine. With me, Kara Berry, our Vanderpump Rules and a Dip in the Valley edition. I'm going to be so sweet and tell you this right now. And like, this is a call in, not a call out. We're not fighting. We're not scrapping. We're not getting into fisticuffs, okay? I'm not tussling either. Just telling you very lovingly that if you think that I'm about to talk in this recap of Vanderpump Rules and sit here and be siding with anybody but Ariana, you might as well just turn this off now. Like, I'm sorry. I'm telling you in a very loving way, like, what you're about to get. So if you're not wanting to hear that and you're going to be upset, you can just turn it off. Like, this is a very voluntary thing that you can do. And again, I'm not being shady. I'm being, like, very, very nice, very kind. Because I've seen the division of opinions and I just feel like we're living in two different experiences. And the only way that I'm not going to end up, like, screaming is if we could just have the understanding going into this, what it is, girl. Okay? So with that, let's talk about Vanderpump Rules. And also, I want to talk about this quickly because this episode was so annoying. And also, I feel like we're also getting inundated with, I don't know about y'all's algorithm. Every time I go on Instagram, apparently Lala has said something else on her podcast about Ariana. And it's like, I don't care. Like, at this point, I'm overstimulated with Lala's decision to go after Ariana and be shady towards her every moment. And I understand this is probably one podcast that people are just, like, playing clips of. But imagine, like, every single time I open Instagram, it's like, here's another quote that Lala said about Ariana. And it just feels very overwhelming. Like, why do you keep talking about this chick? Damn. You good? And so the temperature is getting weird. I will tell you what I just heard on Instagram the last time I was on. She was saying that during the finale, the fourth wall is broken in such a way and she flips the fuck out that she already told her team, whoever that is, Daryl and them, that she's going to go offline and she doesn't want to hear any sort of feedback from the audience as to what they feel like, or what our opinions are. She also said that it is us, the audience, who are rewriting history with regard to people and situations that have happened on the show. So I'm just like, I'm really about to tap out. I just feel like this chick really thinks that she's running shit. And I just don't want to. I don't want to be there. I don't want to live in that world. I don't. So anyway, like, if you guys think that she's saying sensical things and you agree with her, like, that's totally fine. I'm not going to yuck your yum. I mean, I am in this podcast, but, like, don't take it personally. You know, like, just take your feelings out of it if you just want to keep listening. Okay, with that, we're going to start the episode. It starts with Katie doing yoga outside. Lala makes her do it at some park in Beverly Hills or something with some random friends of hers. And this was, like, the first thing. Okay, these are the scenes that Lala wants on the show. Her doing yoga with some other chicks. Great. While wearing a Send It to Daryl hat. I want to put that on the record. She's going to be having some water tasting event at James's house. She tells Katie, I've invited Sandoval. I'm just letting you know right now. Okay. Back at Ariana and Tom's house, Anne comes over with a little business blazer, nervous, mostly because she seems really into Ariana, but also her boss is upstairs and she's going to do an interview downstairs with the other person who lives in this house, who happens to be his ex-girlfriend, who really fucking hates him. So, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot to take into a first interview, you know, and trying to get a new job. So then we see this part where Anne goes upstairs real quick and is like, hey, I'm just going to be helping Ariana find some assistants. Not me. Okay, bye. And we find out that part of Anne's job description with Sandoval is to pick up his dirty socks and underwear. And Ariana says in a confessional, like, he would wear those sometimes for days on end. When this clip came out, I saw a lot of people being like, oh, well, you stayed with him. So, you know, I'm going to keep that same energy for what he says later in the episode. Oh, by the way, I watched the extended uncensored version on Peacock, which was good. I do think Vanderpump Rules is for cussing. I do think that Peacock has made a very wise decision to not censor anything on their platform. It really makes the shows pop in a way, you know? I really appreciated it. So if you have Peacock, I would suggest it. In these extended Peacock versions, Anne gets herself a little on-camera moment. She gets confessionals and she's talking like, you know, I really love Ariana. We have a lot of in common. You know, they both take sketch comedy very seriously and they like fashion. She's like really pretty and I just like really want to work with her. Like, then she goes, sorry, I think I'm going to get sued. So basically she's like, you know, I just want to work for an amazing girl boss and, you know, it doesn't work out. It's okay. I get it. Like, I'm sorry. It's okay. I love you. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you. And Ariana says, listen, like, girl, I would love to hire you, but, you know, it's kind of hot in here right now. Like, I can't do it right now. Also, it's not really a great look. Probably should move out of the house. Like, she does have awareness, you guys. This is not a great situation. I just want to put it out there. So then she's like, listen, like, I would love to have you, but, you know, whatever. So Anna's like, you know, Sandoval is overhearing this, by the way. And he says in a confessional, Ariana's already taken all my friends. Like, why does she have to take my assistant? And I'm like, she's not taking anybody. People leave. Right? Like, you should have, instead of fucking Rachel. People choose what they prefer, and that's what they want. If Anne didn't want to work for Ariana, she wouldn't say a goddamn thing to her. She is begging to work for her. How is it Ariana's fault? You know what I mean? I'm just like, in this moment, I know we've only been a couple of minutes in. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about this because I'm just so annoyed. Are you guys going to be mad at me? Are we going to be mad? I mean, we can hit some beats, okay? I'm having a little bit of a meltdown because, like, I like to have fun. I want y'all to have fun. And, like, I'm laughing because I'm so annoyed with how this has gone down. I really am. Like, the audacity of Tom Sandoval is so wild to me. Am I having, like, a full-blown mentee be in the middle of a podcast over a man that I'm not even with? Yeah. Because it's so crazy to me that he's able to just say these poop things from his mouth. Okay, we're going to go, like, real quickly. Schwartz comes over to Sheena's house with another plant and a hat for Summer Moon. I had to laugh at this. It just gave me memories of old Bravo Housewives episode. There's an episode of Housewives of Atlanta where Mama Joyce comes over to Phaedra's attorney, like her law office, and sweet baby Aiden is there. He's like 4 years old, maybe. And Mama Joyce is like, she's in her full Wicked Witch era at this point, like blowing up with Todd, you know, talking about the streets, trying to throw a kitten heel at Todd's mama at a wedding bridal, at a bridal shop. Like, it's a whole mess, right? So she goes over to Phaedra's for some fuckery to try to catch Todd in some dastardly deed or whatever. And Aiden is sitting in Phaedra's lap. And, you know, she's very like, oh, you know, say hi to Mama Joyce. And she whispers in his ear, like, if you say hi to her, I'll give you a treat. And Aiden whispers back, I don't want a treat. And this is what Summer Move is giving. Schwartz comes over with that hat. She's like, you can hear her say, I don't want it. I don't want it. It was a big beach hat that said, do not disturb, and purple glitter on it. Like, I don't want it either, girl. I get it. Tom is acting like his ovaries are in overload and he's trying to get pregnant soon and have a baby. I don't know. This just felt like a he found out about the valley and was like, well, if things don't work out over here, maybe I can hop over there, you know? And that's really all I have to say. Tom also uses this moment to try to talk about how hypocritical it was that Katie fucked Max. And, sir, please, please, I don't want to hear this. Like, you found the smallest thing in the vault that you could dig up and was like, let me try to point out some hypocrisy with Katie. Why? Why do you need to do that in the year of our Lord 2023? Who cares? Who cares? It's like a he said, she said conversation. Like, Tom's talking to Sheena and Brock and Summer Moon about how hypocritical it was for Katie to fuck Max. Katie's hanging out with Ariana saying, like, listen, I did probably fuck Max because I felt some type of way after hearing that Sheena and Schwartz kissed. I was in my feelings and in the cups, you know? And so that's what I did. She says, ultimately, how many promises has Schwartz made in the name of fidelity that he's not given one fuck about? So what are we saying? Like, 2 years after they're divorced, all of a sudden she's got to care? I don't care. I wish she would have gone over to Schwartz's house right on his couch, right next to that terrarium full of rats, and fucked Max right in his face and looked directly in his eye. That's what I wish happened. Right on top of his dirty slides. Who cares? That's what I would have done. I would have been bent over. Bend me over the balcony. You know? for all the things that he did, like, why should she give a... Like, let's really... Why should she give a fuck when this man never once faithful to her in the entirety of not even their marriage, their entire relationship? Why the hell would she care now that the relationship's been done? The ink's been dry on that divorce. Why? Anyway, they decide to go to this water tasting, whatever that is. Everybody heads over to Burbank. So James and Allie and whoever is flying above them to host this water guy. Walter the water guy. This German water man. Like, what the hell's going on? Brock apologizes to Katie and is like, oh, Katie, sorry I, like, you know, slut-shamed you, basically. I was just hammered, you know. Okay. For them to be making fun about having to eat sandwiches again, I would much rather do this than drink water. Some German dude tell me that, oh, this is the water that I sent to the girls at the Playboy radio, and they said it tasted like cum? Give me a Greek sandwich. Like, I'd much rather have that. Why do I want to drink cum water? Give me a caprese, bitch. So the drama really starts when the pizza arrives. They're waiting on ranch, and Tom Sandoval gets his little flip-flops on. He's like, hey, bro, do you guys remember the ranch? You didn't? Okay, sorry, bro. Like, he's running outside to be, like, the ranch hero, right? The superhero of ranch. Ariana clocks it and is like, he's doing a lot, right? He's doing a little too much. He's like trying to be so nice to you guys, be Billy good boy, and like, I'm not feeling it. It's a small house, okay? Like, the girls are all in the front room. There's the front door that Tom keeps walking past. Like, it's awkward, for sure. And he's like, Ariana just won't let me be the wallflower that I want to be. Sir, I'm not doing this with you. You want to be a wallflower? Not with that gel pedicure. Don't tell me that. And, like, the deck's stacked against me. So he goes to the back to go mope to the guys and, you know, talk about how tacky it was that Ariana said bad things to T about him, which is literally insane, considering all the shit he was talking to Rachel about Ariana and their relationship. But now we've gone too far. So the guys are kind of tired of hearing it, and Brock tells him, like, bro, you need to just talk to Ariana about this. There's nothing we can solve to do it. And he's like, oh, well, I love that this is all on me. Who else would it be on? I mean, like, it's not on Schwartz, not on James, not on Brock, not on Summer Moon to fix your relationship with Ariana. It's not on Hippie. What? Who else would it be on? Like, what are we talking here? Back inside, they're hearing more about what happened with Anne, because apparently after this interview, Anne came to find Ariana's, like, I think I just got fired by Sandoval because he heard the conversation, and Anne tells us in a confessional that she went to her room and Ariana put her hand on her shoulders and, like, it's gonna be okay, and then she basically went to the kitchen to sob. So, not great. So Lala's like, okay, if you guys don't have Anne, then who's gonna be the middleman to, like, you know, figure that out? And Ariana's like, I don't know, maybe my lawyer. And Sheena and Lala are like, girl, that's really unreasonable. Like, who are you gonna do? Ariana, or Lala says, you know, I think your lawyer has more important things to do than, like, mediate you and your boyfriend when you're choosing to stay in the house. Lala, I would just like to tell you, it was so much easier for you to leave Randall's home because you had no stake in it. Your name wasn't on it. You didn't pay a bill. So it was fine for you to just pack up your bags. And I don't know if you still had the Range Rover at that point, but you could certainly have called an Uber, you know? This man didn't even let you own Gucci slides. He took them off from you. So, you had no claim. If she had had $10 in that house, Lala, we would never hear the fucking end of it. So, here's what I know. Here's what I know. To quote Oprah Winfrey, here's what I know to be true. Lala, if any of these situations would have been applied to her, she would be 10 times worse. So, I'm not understanding. And what became clear to me, I guess we have to talk about Ariana freaking out, because I don't want you guys to think that I'm being unfair. Like, she flipped the fuck out, okay? And, like, honestly, get him again. Hit him for me. But anyway, Schwartz and Katie are outside, just, like, having a conversation and talking about Schwartz is calling her a dirty dog for fucking Max or whatever. And she's like, listen, I just wanted to put my Schwartz pants on and walk a mile in them. And he goes, oh, don't put that on me. So then he's like, oh, no, I wasn't actually mad. And Katie's like, I don't know. I just think that maybe what happened, I was just, like, in this extreme fuck it mentality. Because, frankly, you've been doing me dirty for years and years and years and years. Tom tries to get off on the excuse, well, she was actually worse because Rachel wasn't really in the friend group. And Max is his very best friend. So basically, the fact that she would even ask him to respect her wishes was kind of like a flimsy argument to him. Katie says, well, okay, that's kind of the problem and the reason why we got divorced, Tom, because everything I did felt flimsy to you. My feelings really didn't matter. And so then she tells Tom, if this is the one fuck up that I've done, then you're pretty fucking lucky. So Tom says in a confessional that now that Katie has done this, she's no longer perfect, and that really feels good to him. But then Katie continues to try to advocate for herself, which, like, he tries to just stop her from talking, holds his hand out to shake, and be like, oh, can we just start fresh from here on out? Why don't we go to dinner? Like, why don't we hang out? She's like, I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want to do any of that until you want to make better choices with your clothing. She starts laughing, and he's like, oh, you're not serving either. And looks at her. And to be honest with you, he was absolutely right. Neither of you guys were serving, frankly. Let's be real. But take on a Panama City Beach airbrush bikini, like, you know, the t-shirts would have the, like, airbrush sexy body bikini lady that you could put over you, but hers was like a sexy lingerie agent provocateur kind of style with this Jonathan Taylor Thomas Home Improvement sleeveless denim vest jacket. Like, girl, he was right. He did eat that one little thing. So while they're talking, they're just, like, kicking it inside, and Brock is like, oh, I want the tea on Anne. And so Ariana retells the story about, like, you know, I was talking to her about how I was looking for assistance, and then she told me she was interested, and, you know, well, apparently the attempted dog murder was eavesdropping. And then everybody kind of looks in one direction, and then the camera pans over to Sandoval, who is eavesdropping in that moment. And so Brock, you know the answer to this. He goes, oh, who was the attempted dog murder? And Tom raises his hand and he's like, oh, she's talking about me. Talking about me. So he says in a confessional, it's fucking ridiculous that Ariana would go from accident to dog murder. There's no dead dog. And I would just like to submit into evidence that she said attempted. Okay. She said attempted. Tom says something about a lawyer, and Ariana goes, second of all. So Schwartz and Kate are outside. Are like, are people yelling? What's going on? They have no clue. Ariana says, my lawyer will deal with you. And Tom's like, well, he can't respond to an email in 2 months, blah, blah, blah. And so she goes, listen, she explains to everybody that she had gotten back from Sir the other night and he had left the door wide open, which just another example of him being careless and how he ruined her dream home and her dream family, her dream children. He goes, oh, your children? And so then that's it. The lights go out. Get the fuck away from me. 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 Never fucking look at me in the eye again, you fucking piece of shit. So he's like out the back door. And now Schwartz are hearing Ariana screaming. They're like, oh shit, they really were fighting. So then Ariana pulls out her phone and says, I'm going to call 911. Ruin my life, my home, fucking attempt to kill my fucking dog by letting her in my room when I was shut in there for fucking hours. James goes outside. Because she's just ranting. Like, Sandoval's left the building, officially. He's just in the backyard. James is now like, oh, sorry, mate. And Sandoval goes to his car. Everybody at the table with Ariana, it's silent. Dead silent.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Lala says in a confessional, should Sandoval have gone in the room? No. But why does she leave skewers on the side of her bed and, like, throw your trash away? Didn't you do a trash bag commercial? You know how to throw trash in the trash. Don't you know how to do that? Okay. Pop, 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 pop. This has, like, been the hot debate all week of, like, skewer gate, satay gate, chicken satay gate. Yeah, I mean, would I be leaving takeout food at my bedside table and, like, going about my day? No, I wouldn't do that. Would I leave even skewers in there? No, probably not. But the thing is, yeah, everybody who, like, just wants to be so, I don't know, like, wants to find a reason to be mad at Ariana or just saying, like, well, she shouldn't do that. That's disgusting. Blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, it's gross. Okay. But the point of it is, if she leaves anything at all behind a door that's closed, in a room that's closed, somebody then goes in the room, puts a dog in a situation where they can't get out of it, and then They're just like dogs and eat the skewers or the chat. How much? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He ate the food. She ate the food. It fucked her up. That is not her fault. Would you guys say it was her fault if Tom, if Ariana was like, oh, I'm going to leave the dog in my room. Let's say the roles were reversed. I'm going to leave the dog in my room. And he let the dog out. And let's say Maya got into the trash can. Would that also have been her fault? No. Y'all would have been like, it's his fault. So the fact that it was like in her room, I don't think is really that relevant because she was never supposed to be in the room in the first place. The point is, Ariana had done what she thought was secure enough, and it would have been had he not gone into her room. I don't see why everybody wants to blame it on her. It just seems like the line is always moving, and I don't really get it. Yeah, it's gross. But the point is, Maya never would have gotten to the grossness had he not opened the door and left her in a room with the door closed. And I just know that, let's propose another scenario. This is why I didn't want to get in, because I'm getting too in the weeds. Let's say that, like, Maya just had free reign of the house, and Sandoval had left the skewers in his room, and she went in there and ate it. Y'all would still be like, well, as a responsible dog owner, Ariana should have known that I just know that the line would move. So that's why I'm like, this is bullshit, because we're not even having productive conversations, or conversations that even are rooted in sense. So Sandoval calls Schwartz and tells his side of the story, which is that if I wasn't around the house doing the things, like, nothing would be done. The house would fall apart. And, like, you know, I went in there and, like, he kind of throws Anne under the bus by being like, well, either me or Anne didn't close the door all the way. And then, like, Maya got into it. And, like, this is, like, she's not well trained. This is the reason why she gets into stuff. Like, no, dogs are dogs. Like I said last week, if a dog is in a room with a hot meat and a delicious treat, they will eat it. You know, you would have to be like top 1% well-trained dog for this to not happen. Like, I'm telling y'all, I know. Even Short says this thing kind of stuff happens with dogs all the time. Like, a dog is going to get into stuff. And I thought he was going to be on Sandoval's side with this, but then I think it might be more to Ariana's point. Basically, we move on. Like, Ariana's so pissed off. You can see it in her eyes and in her face. Like, there's not coming back. Nobody's at the door. There's nothing anybody can say to her to calm down. They're like, you need to try to have a productive conversation with Sandoval. She's like, I'm not there. Not happening. I do not want to talk to him at all. And then she says, you know, like, Sheena says in a confessional, you know, I really hate seeing Ariana this upset, but, like, ultimately she does have to find a way to process her emotions and then move on with her life. Fully correct. I'm with you, Sheena. But I think they're acting like she's just popping off for no fucking reason 3 months after the fact, and not that there's, like, this thing that just happened that is setting her off again. Like, I would be in full agreement if this was, like, she was just, like, random. Like, he was just there. She was like, get, you know, but she's pissed because something just happened. And it cost her $6,000, you know? So after this, we have to watch a scene of the two Toms and Kyle Chan go to some place to get drinks or whatever. They're walking into the restaurant and Schwartz goes, Katie still has my location. I don't know how to do anything about it. I don't know how to turn it off. And so Sandoval's like, oh, I'll show you. By the way, he's wearing like a sweater vest that he got from the set of Pen 15 or something. Like, what was that? What was that? Like, really, where did he get that? It was giving thank you for being a friend. Like Dorothy? The Dorothy Zwornak jumped out in that sweater vest. Anyway, so Sandoval's like, oh, I'll show you how to turn the location off. And Kyle looks at him and goes, oh, he's the expert. He's the one who got caught with the phone. Yeah, get him, Kyle. Get him. So in this scene, they talk about how the guys want to go to some kind of singles night or something, and they're making snarky comments about how, oh, if Katie and Ariana can move on, like, we should be able to too. Like, okay, you guys, there was nowhere for y'all to move. Y'all were moving. Okay. So let's not act like, oh, they're moving. Like, y'all have been waiting with bated breath for them to move on so you guys could do it. Like, get real, get real. Tell that to Joe. Anyway. Schwartz says, oh, I had a conversation with Katie, and Sandoval goes, oh, what's that hypocrite up to? He says that Katie has made her whole adult life about slut-shaming women, which is not untrue. She really did let the horror spray quite a bit. But what does that have to do with her sleeping with Max? What is her being like? She used to call girls whores, so how dare she sleep with Max? What does that mean? And then they get their oysters, and Schwartz says, oh, it's too big. I can't swallow it. It's probably what Katie said last night. So I'm sorry, did they not just have a conversation about how bad it was that she was slut-shaming? But we're talking... Okay. So then Sandoval tries to pitch this story about the dog. And he basically is like, I mean, it could not be the more biased. I accidentally left the door open, yada, yada, yada. Ariana was just screaming and screaming and telling me to get the fuck out of her room. Like, no, that's not, no. Then he says, Ariana doesn't do a goddamn fucking thing in that house. I don't even know if she knows how her ass gets wiped because girls are fucking goddamn lazy. And it gets annoying to hear me talk, to hear her talk shit about me being a certain way when she's literally the laziest fucking person. And you know how we know that this is a complete lie? Let's get that camera pan over to Schwartz. Because one thing about Tom Schwartz is that his face, much like Shakira's hips, don't ever lie. Okay? And every time Sandoval says something stupid, out of pocket, lies, fairy tales and fallacies, all you gotta do is look at that man's face. He won't say anything, but he clearly doesn't agree. Schwartz says, I just feel like a lot of this tension is because you guys still live together. And Sandoval says in a confessional, you know, she's got all these opportunities and, you know, like, I think people are flying her to the moon. And then she goes to see the Pope and, you know, like, maybe she's too busy house hunting.
Jealousy. Jealousy.
But then he says, I have it on record that she said she didn't want the house. How is this only coming up now? What record? What record? God, I don't care. If you had it, I think production would have asked and you would have delivered on that. But maybe we'll hear about it at the reunion. Okay, I'll let you cook. I don't think there's a receipt in that. Let's get to beach day, or before beach day. I gotta tell you, Brock, I'm good on you. Good. He was very lucky that he was doing this incredibly adorable thing of putting makeup on Summer Moon. Because during this conversation with Sheena, he was talking a lot of bullshit about how, you know, scary Ariana was and how she can't regulate her emotions. And so if she can't handle being around Sandoval, then she's the one who needs to leave. And so Sheena looks at him real crazy and goes, you know how you get heated real quick sometimes? And Brock says, yeah. And she goes, then who the fuck are you to judge Ariana for getting heated real quick against somebody she hates and who just did something very irresponsible that made her dog wind up in the hospital? Exactly. And so even though she is defending Ariana in this moment, obviously we know the confessionals are filmed after the fact. Clearly her tone has switched. I've heard her say this in recent interviews about how at the reunion, they weren't, there were things that she was scared to say and things came out. And she says in the confessional that she's so afraid that if she says how she really feels to Ariana, then she's going to get cut out. And she tells her to move past her anger because she's had all these opportunities and how breaking up with Sandoval was actually the best thing that ever happened to her. Like, the way you guys exchange opportunities, fame, whatever, with happiness is so crazy. Because it don't work like that, babe. Like, okay, she got the battery bag. She got the trash bag bag. She got the Dancing with the Stars bag. Cool. But she, on the other hand, every day is having to deal with the fallout of this relationship that she seemed to want to be in. Thought she was going to have. Can she not still be upset about that 3 months after the fact? Like, what's happening? And also, what is Sheena so scared to tell Ariana when, two episodes ago, Ariana sat her down and said, I've been hearing that you've been saying things about me behind my back, and I would just like to know, is it because you feel like you can't talk to me because I'm concerned about our friendship? if that's the case, that you can't come to me directly. And Gina had all these excuses for how she was actually fine. I don't want people speaking for me, blah, blah, blah. But now you're talking about how you're afraid to talk to her. The girl who said, please don't be afraid to talk to me. Please don't talk behind my back. Please be a friend to me like I am being to you. And now you're terrified of her? Like, what the hell's going on? What really is going on? Summer Moon is the only person in this situation who is truly on Ariana's side. Because as her father is ranting about how Ariana's got all this aggression, Summer Moon goes, take it out. Take it out, Auntie. And I agreed. I agreed. Maybe the most pleasant episode of the or scene of the episode was James and Allie going to dinner with Jacqueline. Is that James's mom's name? And Lisa. Giving them all the tea about Katie fucking Max and Lisa making these very weird statements about how she can't be inappropriate with Max, but apparently there's something going on in his pants. Yuck. So then they explain the whole reason why this came up is because Sheena was tracking people's locations and Lisa says, does she have my location? Like, I don't know. So Lisa says, brings up a great point that I had not considered. I'm sorry. Has Sheena had a baby and a marriage and she's still tracking this dude that she used to fuck's location on her phone? Does Brock not have an issue with that? And usually I'm not like into the, oh, does your girlfriend have a problem with that? But actually that is weird. Like, why are you following your ex or ex-situationship? Jacqueline mom goes, are we team Katie with the banging? And when Allie goes, yeah, she goes, yeah, I am too. I'm team Katie with the banging. Me three, Jacqueline. Put me down for three. I'll be the treasurer. Y'all can be president and vice president. Ariana has her interior decorator go through the house. You know, another scene of, in fact, she is trying to get out of this house in a way that makes sense for her financially. So you guys can get out of her clit about this. We're going to wrap up real quick. So we go to that beach day, right? We're supposed to have a good day. James makes a joke by literally drawing a line in the sand and telling, you know, boys over here, girls over here. There starts a conversation about the boys going to this single event. And Schwartz is like, Katie, you want to be my date? And then this turns into a conversation about, like, how everybody's kind of flirted with each other, and Sheena makes a comment about how even Sandoval has flirted with her over the years, and he says, you know, I think I was more the recipient of flirtiness, and Brock says, oh, is that how your thing with Raquel started? Brock, why did we have to say that? Why? Because we were trying to have a good day at the beach, but now we can't, because you just said some bullshit. So Ariana's like, can we not have this fucking conversation in front of me? It's fucking disgusting. Sandoval tries to blame it on Sheena bringing it up. She goes, it's not Sheena's fault. The subject matter is disgusting because of you. So we try to, Katie tries to save things and ask Sandoval, is Ant still working for you? Because he said he hired some dude named Craig, right? And he's like, well, I don't know. Like, we're just taking a couple days. Like, he tries to pussy pop around the fact that he clearly was in his feelings and fired her. But Katie's like, well, if you have it and what you're saying is true, that it's not official, then you maybe need to have a conversation with her because she fully thinks that she's fired. And Katie says, you know, like, could you make it quick? Because I could use some help. So, like, let me know. And he's like, well, this is going to take a minute. Like, she's my employee. And then he starts talking about how, like, it's not that easy. There are protocols and HR needs to be involved. Katie says, you have a human resources department? And Don goes, yeah, it's a business. And then Sheena looks over at Katie. Like, I think she was not joking. She literally was like, do I have a human resources department? Obviously, things devolve very quickly. Sandoval's trying to make some point of the fact that Ariana said that the dogs and the cat, the pets are hers. And he's like, no, they're my dogs too. They're my pets too. She's like, well, I paid the adoption fee. And Allie's like, well, she said she paid the adoption fee. So... And then he says, well, by that logic, then, like, the house should be mine because, like, I had my friend look for it and, you know, help us with the loan process. Not really. Ariana just keeps saying, stop speaking to me. Stop speaking to me. And he's like, well, you're speaking to me. And then in a confessional, he says, everything I do is obviously a trigger for Ariana. Like, I have this delusional idea that we could be, like, way more civil
than Tom and Katie. Like, watch how civil we could be. Yeah, that's delusional.
Yeah, it really is. But not for the reasons why you're acting like that is completely delusional that you would have the audacity in your mind to fuck her friend and then think that y'all were going to be besties after this. Like, y'all were going to be Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman. Get real. What?
Lala shows up late, and at this point, Ariana's just screaming. Like, she's dropped into Ariana just yelling about how, like, I'm not going to do this. He's the one who ruined my life. Sandoval's walking to his car all sheepish. He's got a little crochet sweater on, all askew. Brock basically starts blaming Ariana because he's saying, oh, Sandoval's been keeping his tail between his legs all summer. And then she's like, no, he's talking shit about me. And he's like, well, he's doing it behind his, under his breath.
Oh, okay. So he's, as long as he keeps it, the volume under a two, he can still just, like, talk about her in front of her, just quietly, because his tail is between his legs. Like, where are we going? Ariana finally lets the chopper spray and is like, listen, he's never gonna fucking get it. He's very comfortable talking shit about me. None of y'all are gonna check him. It's really disrespectful. James says in a confessional, I'm not saying Ariana has to forgive and forget, but it might be better if she releases her anger because it's consuming a lot of her life. Like, maybe she would have more peace if she released. So then Ariana tells Brock, you need to step in as a man and tell him to shut the fuck up because Tom is such a misogynist that he requires men to check him because those are the only people he respects to put him in his place. Lala says in a confessional, even though she's got like 40% of the information here, I understand that he was an uber douche and like this was the most insane breakup, but like at what point do you choose peace? At what point do you choose peace, bitch? Like, you have been screaming at people every episode about Randall for literal years. You've chose violence every option, every time you can. When do you choose peace? I know I didn't say that right, but like, this is why she's got me so hot. So then he goes, she's like, you won. Look at his life. You won. No, I don't understand this. I don't. These people have worms for brains. Like, I get that. But like, this is so stupid. This is such dumb logic to me that like, she's got money. She's people like her. Therefore, she has it all. And this is the only reason why, like, you can never let a bitch win for too long before somebody's like gonna find, they're gonna dig, try to find a problem to bring them down. And this is like, I hate talking like this, but like, this is truly what's going on. Jealousy, I honestly think, is like a little bit more rare than people like to throw around. This is some hater, jealous shit. All of them are saying she's got X, therefore she's not allowed to feel Y. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. She's allowed to have her emotions. Yeah, would I want to be somewhere where somebody's like screaming and like really fucking pissed off? No, but like, I also know that this would literally never happen in my life because my friends are some real bitches and would never put me in this kind of position. Like, this would never happen. Never. Like, I love some of my friends' partners, but as soon as they did something like that, like, who are you? And that's good. That's perfectly fine. And that's normal. And I fully understand this is a TV show. They have to do things. But I feel like we just got to take into context that the only reason why Ariana really popped the fuck off is because her dog had to go to the vet like 2 days prior to this. And not just because she wants to be a bitch to him. He does not take any responsibility, and it's making her crazy that you guys are all looking to her to fix the problems that he started. What's not clicking? Anyway, let's move on to the valley. I feel like y'all are going to be mad at me. Don't be mad at me, okay? We're going to move on to the valley.
I've known Michelle for a while. She is not homophobic, and I love her to pieces, and I really hate that, unfortunately, this got said.
What I want to immediately apologize to Michelle for is that I felt cornered and I should not have ever said those things out loud, especially at your home.
Why don't you say what you did and you lied? Call it a lie and don't call it anything else.
I did not lie.
Calm down.
Excuse me?
No, calm down.
This literal sack of shit. Twisted Tristan's nipple. Now he keeps attacking her. He wasn't there. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. That's strike two.
we're taking a dip in the valley, and was I supposed to watch this? Like, what? This felt like a peek into a world that I don't want to look at again. It felt like this was not something that I should be watching. Like, I felt like I was watching a bunch of white people navigate racism and sort of homophobia and politics and laws. And I just think, I don't think I was supposed to see this. Like, I think I got access to something that I shouldn't have seen. Like, what was that? Apparently the thing that was left off from last episode was that Kristen told, we're at Michelle Lally's house, Jesse and Michelle's house, the house of horrors, because those people hate each other, okay? Kristen was popping off after she finds out her ex-boyfriend Alex was coming out to guys' night, that all hell broke loose. We didn't find out what bombshell Kristen dropped. The bombshell that she dropped was that she had told everybody that she heard from Janet, who told Jasmine that Michelle was a Republican and probably racist. So then she pivots to saying that Zach is actually the one who said it. And Brittany's now telling Jax all of this. She's telling Jax at the farmer's market or wherever the fuck they're spending $8 on lemonade. All this and what happened at girls' night. And she's like, Jax, I can't believe she brought that up in her home, Jax. In Michelle's home. So then Michelle, we go back to Michelle's house with Jesse. She's telling him, they're letting the fucks fly to the point where the kid is saying fuck, 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 fuck off camera. You just hear fuck, 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 fuck. Because apparently Jesse says this all the time and she just is parroting. Okay. This has been a thing and it will continue to be a thing. So while this child's letting the chopper spray, Michelle FaceTimes Janet to be like, girl, what happened? Janet, who was not at Michelle's party, is finding out all this that Kristen told everybody, that she told Kristen that Michelle was Republican and probably racist. And Janet is basically like, listen, what happened? This is a scheme that Todd set up. And what happened was, she said like a year ago, she got fed up with Alex and Kristen's back and forth with their relationship. They're making up, breaking up, he's selling the house or whatever. And so she decided to put up a boundary with Kristen. Kristen didn't like that. And so now she's taken every opportunity to throw her under the bus in this way. And then once she found out, she says, once she found out that Alex was hanging out with the guy, she just like fucking spiraled. Because according to Janet, Kristen has been creating this narrative after her breakup with Alex that he was this bad guy, when she maybe should take some ownership for the breakup, and she was equally, like, not a great partner to Alex. But, like, now that they're broken up, it's a totally different story. So, Kristen's side of things is that before the show, The Valley, began, basically it was like kill or be killed with the cast. These people are not friends. They were all talking shit about each other. Janet apparently told Michelle, well, here's what she said. Janet's like, I didn't say this, I didn't say this, I didn't say this. But then she says that what she did say is that Michelle could possibly be homophobic or racist and or racist. Zach was also present and accounted for in the conversation. He also fully denies this when confronted. And then she says, Zach is denying it. But really, I feel like deep down, Zach wants this out. Because he's mad at me. This is like such a tangled web that is being woven. So I'm just going to have to repeat it, okay? Kristen says, Janet told her and Zach that Michelle is racist and likely a Republican. This also went to Jasmine, our sole black, and we come to find out later, also queer member of the cast. So Kristen then outs this in front of everybody, namely Michelle. Michelle brings this to Janet for confirmation. Janet says, I didn't say that to Michelle. Turns out she actually said 95% of that. But that only comes out in a confessional, not to Michelle herself. So when Janet hears this, she says that Kristen is throwing her under the bus for the fact that she created boundaries with her ex-boyfriend. But what actually is happening is that Zach is denying this thing that she also said didn't happen. But obviously, if Zach is denying it, then it did. But that truly, on a deep psychological level, Zach wanted this to come out. Because he's also mad at Janet, and I'm not sure if we know why. Do we know why yet? Doesn't matter. They give Jax a little throwaway scene where he plays business at Jax's Studio City, a place that he admits that he has put $0 in, and also lies to us and says that he has seen what a bar can do to a couple. And so for that reason, he has decided to involve Brittany in some aspect of the business. How is this possible? Because you're not actually financially involved. I'm not sure. Also, clearly this didn't work out for the longevity and health of his marriage, so we got to move on. If you guys have closed captioning, whenever Brittany laughs, it says chuckles, which I think is important. It is wild. There's a scene with Kristen and Brittany. To sit here and watch these two that were kicked off of Vanderpump Rules for varying shades of racism have a conversation with each other about calling somebody out for being racist and the implications of that. We're so meta at this point. We need a new word for meta. You know what I mean? Granted, Kristen says, I didn't call her racist. I just said she was Republican.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Do you think me out of anybody wants to talk about racism on television? She also keeps calling it the R word. So Brittany says, she's not sure if this was something that was actually said or if this was like Kristen pulling a Jax and hearing one thing and then turning it into a much bigger thing for his own personal benefit, which is a great thing to say about somebody that you have married and had a child with. You know what I mean? During this conversation, Kristen decides to call Zach to ask him why he's denying the Republican stuff, the R-word stuff. Is racism the R-word or Republican? It doesn't matter. He confirms that that was said. The Republican R-word stuff was said, but the racism R-word stuff was not said. And then he basically admits in a confessional that everything was said, but he begged Kristen not to bring this up, and she let it out anyway. And she's somebody who you can say directly to her face, Kristen, please do not share this, and she will. So, Brittany seems more concerned that this was brought up in Michelle's house than anything else. And I just think that's so Brittany. You know what I mean? For some reason, Jesse and Michelle are talking to a life coach, not a therapist, to talk about their marital issues. And by for some reason, I unpack this immediately. First of all, this idiot, Jesse, a monster, walking in the scene with white flip-flops. And that was all I needed to know. That she needs to divorce this man, okay? And take him for what little money he's worth. And I honestly, girl, I don't think it's much. Probably get more out of his collection of Armani Exchange t-shirts than anything else. So pack up, lady. So Jesse explains that the reason that they have a life coach is because The life coach's aim is for them individually to be the best versions of their self. Whether or not that's married is what they're figuring out, right? But I'm imagining what really happened is that at some point, Michelle, frazzled and exhausted, was finally like throwing a Hail Mary pass at their marriage, begging Jesse to go into therapy. And he's like, I'm not doing that. I don't do that. And then he found some douchebags in LA that he thinks are cool. They recommended this guy. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'll definitely do that. I'll take a life coach, because it's like the no shade, like the douchiest LA thing that you could possibly think of. Like, we got to think in terms of Jesse and how he's thinking. OK, like, he's not trying to get fixed. He just wants to have this stuff that he thinks is like cool. He doesn't give a shit. He's not trying to heal himself. You know what I mean? This is a man who we see on camera actively trying to be a worse version of the already poor version that is already out there. You see what I mean? Like, he wants to be able to go walk down to Chateau Marmont, so just a hop, skip, and a jump away. Why he needed to tell us that, I don't know. Like, first of all, do you want to get robbed? Dummy. And then he just wants to tell people, like, oh, I have a life coach. Like, oh, I mean, me and my wife, like, see a life coach. She's, like, really helping me tap in to be the best version of myself. Like, that's what he wants to do, you know? These people fucking hate each other. Like, it's bad. It's real bad. Like, I would say I would put money on Ariana and Tom Sandoval getting back together before these people had a chance at a healthy relationship. Like, I'm picturing Tom and Ariana getting matching OPI Funny Bunny manicures before these two can, like, crack a smile. You know, like, they need to be separated. Like, really? This is bad. Basically, Jesse tells his life coach that they are constantly conflicting with each other. And the example that we see is Michelle trying to make this man espresso. And him being like, this is too much milk. Don't put too much milk in there. Michelle, please, please. And then he dumps it out. You put too much milk in it. Bitch. And Michelle's like, you know, a lot of my needs are not being met. Like, none of them. Like, and they haven't been for years. And you could see the light going out of her eyes and that she's not only lonely, but alone. Like, he's not there emotionally or physically. Jesse's a dick to her in basically every aspect of their relationship. He's micromanaging the house. He didn't want to have kids all up in his home, dirtying up, putting their little dirty fingers on his Hermes blanket, because we had to make sure that we saw those, right? He got the two throw pillows in the bedroom. I saw. Who's got the matching set? You get 20% off for that, Jesse? This guy's really bringing the hate out of me. I'm going to have to check myself. Like, even for me, this might be a little much. But he's awful. He's so mean. And he only gets meaner. And this is like a beautiful Republican woman. How could he do this to her? Like, he revels in giving her a full-fledged 360 experience of how mean he could be to her. And it's, like, really awful. It's really mean. Jesse says in that if he was, like, the best, most passive father, it probably wouldn't even make a difference. But he's not sure. So what I'm hearing is that this is why Michelle is in her own personal hell. Because Jesse thinks that whatever he's doing now is, like, him being a strong man. He thinks she's stupid. And he thinks the way he runs his life is better. And that he's frustrated that her dumbass isn't doing it. Like, that's clear. That these are his thoughts, not mine. And he views, like, whatever she needs. It's like, she just wants me to be a pussy, basically. Like, I think that's what he wants. And she just wants me to, like, lay down. Let her step all over my dick. And that still wouldn't be good enough for her, you know? Then life coach is like, when was the last time you guys fucked? I mean, he said it better than that, but, like, let's cut to it, right? When is the last time she was attracted to you, Jesse? Probably, like, 3 years and 9 months ago. Well, look at our gorgeous Isabella for that timeline, can't we? Jesse, that's horrible. So then Jesse looks at life coach and says, what if I was nice to her for, like, I don't know, like, 2 months? You know, at what point do I get to look at her and be like, you know, are you going to be nice to be back? That's basically what he said. And the man, I mean, life coach, you really kind of ate with this one. He said, you need to stop being so attached to an outcome, which seems like very life coach speak, but he was right. Like, if you're looking to just have an even exchange of I'm nice for 8 weeks, you be nice to me, then your marriage is doomed, like more than it already is, okay? Then we go over to back to the valley. Thank God. Never thought I'd say that. I'm about to regret it in about 2 seconds. Janet's talking to her husband, Jason, about what Kristen said. She says that Kristen threw everybody under the bus. Oh, boop, 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 boop. Let me go back real quick. At the end of that scene, Michelle says, I'm not a Republican, but like, if I was, who cares? Girl. Like a lot of people. And that really tells me all I need to say, Michelle. Sorry, gotcha. I will say in the interest of fairness, if you want to call it that, that Jesse has donated to Act Blue. And he also follows Donald Trump. So, you know, always keep him guessing, I guess, right? So back to Janet and Jason, right? She's telling him what Kristen says. Kristen threw everybody under the bus. She said something small. This is Janet saying, I just said something small. Kristen not only made it huge, but she like took it, ran with it, ran a whole fucking marathon with it. But then Janet says in a confessional, what happened was she went out to dinner with Michelle and Brittany like a few months ago before they filmed. Michelle may have made a comment about how the don't say gay laws protect children. And so Janet was like, interesting. Sheena Shea. And I thought, oh. And I thought, oh. So then Janet says she tells this to Jasmine and is like, I heard something a little funky at dinner. I'm gonna throw this out to you. If you hear something in the future that sounds a little funky, maybe we can come together and make this a teachable moment for Michelle. Now, what I'm hearing is you heard something openly, clearly, that sounded homophobic to you and to many other people. You told it to the two people in the LGBT community and were like, hey, mind your six. And if you hear something, maybe you can do the emotional labor of fixing how Michelle thinks. Thank you. I know that Janet was trying to be well-meaning in this, but factually, that is what she did. She did try to kind of put the emotional labor on them. And then Janet kind of makes it worse in a confessional by being like, well, I think that maybe Michelle may have gotten like swept up in a weird algorithm, you know? Like, no, we're not going to give her passes. What should have happened, Janet, is that you should have heard that bullshit and been like, what the fuck are you talking about in the moment, not brought it to two queer people. And been like, hey, girl, if you hear anything, see something, say something. And then make think, like, maybe she was scrolling and, like, found something weird. Maybe she just got swept up. Like, no, we're not going to act like this girl is that naive. I'm not doing it. And now also we know that Brittany was very much there for this conversation, likely knows what Janet was talking about. And still I was like, why does she bring this up in her home? In her home. In her backyard, Jax. Kristen said that in her backyard. Like, what are we talking about? We gotta move on. Jesse decides to have a party. I mean, like, the douche levels. I'm cringing just saying that. Jesse decides to throw a party themed after Capri, Italy, a place that he makes Michelle go every summer. He tries to pitch it in a confessional as though this is him playing, like, the billionaire boys game of, I'm not gonna go to Long Beach Harbor to try to get clients. We're going to go to Capri. We're going to go where the billionaires go. Like, okay. Like, you think Jeff Bezos is going to see you sniffing around his billion-dollar yacht in your white flip-flops and be like, yeah, that's a guy I want to do business with. These guys think you're a clown, okay? Like we all do. Okay, so they sit down for this dinner. But before they sit down for this dinner, I just want everybody to notice that not only, it's like a buffet dinner, very Capri, right? Jax, eats linguine with his fingers in the buffet line. And then he tells Brittany, he yells across the thing, this is going to be the closest you ever get to Italy. And then here she's yucking the pain away. Brittany should come out with a song called Yuck the Pain Away, featuring Peaches. So Kristen's playing very light and bright at the party, going up to Michelle like,
should we talk? And Michelle's like, not right now, girl. So Kristen's like, okay, well, and he tries to give her a hug. And it's like, I love you. Michelle's pissed, okay? Kristen has no awareness that Michelle is livid. Janet's livid. They have not been responding to her text messages. No clue how pissed off they are at her. Laughing away at the dinner table. Kristen does attempt to have a one-on-one with Michelle. But like I said, Michelle has chosen violence. And she goes, well, since everybody knows what's been talked about, why don't we just have a group conversation in front of everybody at the table? Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for this. She's so disgusted by, like, whatever Kristen said. And Kristen says, well, I didn't say that. Zach did. Zach's like, no. He claims that Kristen took all this information that he gave her, mixed it up in some kind of shit stew. I am so confused. And I really, this was the moment where I was like, I've just never seen only white people talk about racism. And I just want to say, Jasmine is there. But once she found out what was really going on, she was like, I am Bennett and I am not in it. I don't want to be involved in this at all. So Kristen apologizes for saying it out loud and in Michelle's home. And I'm really having a hard time understanding why that specific detail is so much of an issue for so many people. But okay, Jesse looks like he's about to murder Kristen. And I don't mean that with any sense of exaggeration. Like, it's like the light went out of his eyes. I can understand wanting to protect your wife, your partner. I mean, you don't seem to like her. I get that. But this took a turn in a way that made me a little bit nervous, I have to admit. So Jesse looks at Kristen and says, why don't you say what you did and that you lied? Call it a lie and don't call it anything else. And so Luke, his cheeks get all bright and rosy. He's like, you know what? Calm down. And then he starts getting real popped off, starts calling Jesse a literal sack of shit in a confessional. And he's like, you know what? He keeps attacking her. You know what? As she's twisting, he's twisting her nipple and he's twisting her words. I died, okay? Kristen then says, like, given my past, I'm a pretty easy target. And we see a bunch of clips of her acting like a nut job, you know, like suck a dick Diana, screaming at people at Sarah. You might be an easy target in this situation because you had been fired for racism like 4 years ago. Kristen, I don't know what's not clicking to you. People start going around the table and it's just like screaming. You bought the problems to my front door. No, you bought the problems to my front door. No, I picked it up from my front door and then brought it to your front door, okay? And then you brought it back. So then Jesse just slams his hand on the table. He's like, shut the fuck up. Michelle's going to talk. Zach says in a confessional, calling somebody a Republican in L.A. is basically social suicide. You won't get invited anywhere. It's a bad thing. So now Jesse's screaming about how Kristen has disrespected his family name. They've got a business together. And if something gets out, you're ruining lives. And not only that, this is Michelle. Michelle goes, and not only that, and Jesse puts his hand up in front of her mouth and goes, Michelle, please. Like, first of all, I thought you just told people 5 seconds ago, shut the fuck up, Michelle's talking. So what's going on? He also doesn't care. He only cares that it's Michelle. This is why he said, you disrespected my family name, being like, you put me into this bullshit. He doesn't care what Michelle said. He cares that he's by proxy involved, and now it's going to fuck up his business. I'm sure Michelle was going to say something that might tie everything together, but we're never going to find out, are we? We're never going to... Michelle, please. And then the way Zach looks at Jesse from across the table, like, excuse the fuck out of me for the way you just treated your wife. Like, this is wild. This is wild stuff. This is so funny to me. Why Kristen is acting like she is so shocked when this comes up. Jesse looks at her and says, you were thrown off of your show for being an actual racist, Kristen. So why is Kristen so shocked that this might have come up is so crazy to me. So now the whole rest of the episode is just like us, I guess, supposed to feel bad for all the stuff that she went through being quote unquote canceled as she sits on the couch of her new television show about how hard it was for her to be canceled. She's sitting on the couch of her new television show
talking about how she was canceled and how difficult that was. I just want us to all drink that in. That's the end of the valley. Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.